Again, I was trying to think about what to do today. What would be a helpful passage to look at? And I was drawn to the book of Acts when the church was starting up. We're at this extraordinary moment in time and an extraordinary moment in history. None of us have been through anything quite like this. And the church has never been through anything like this. There's never been a time when churches have shut their doors like this. Even during World War II, this did not happen. There's never been a time when we did not celebrate communion together with one another. And so we are having to learn. We've had to learn how to respond to that. And we've been doing things and trying things, and some of us long for church to go back to the way it was pre the end of March 2020, and we long for that to happen. But some of us are excited by the possibilities of what is happening. And of course, there are so many unknowns about what lies ahead. We don't know whether there will be local lockdowns. We don't know whether there might be a national lockdown. I doubt that that will happen again because the economy won't take it if we have to do that. And we don't know what's going to happen in terms of church either. We can make short-term plans, but we have to be a little bit more free and easy about the way that we organize ourselves because we don't know what lies around the corner. But in saying all of that, we need to recognize that one of the things that we're facing is great economic difficulties as well as the medical difficulties that we have experienced. We face the issue of employment and unemployment. I was hearing yesterday about one of our relatives whose company is reorganizing in the face of the COVID crisis and may or may not have a job at the end of this. And so that, you know, and you will all know people who are in that situation. Maybe you yourself are facing that situation. What does the future hold for you? It is so uncertain and it can be incredibly painful and worrying. And we're all, you know, we all feel that, I think, for ourselves and for those that we know. So that's the reality of the situation that we are in. You know, we could try and pretend, no, everything will be fine, everything will return to normal. We can long for that, but I keep saying we're planning for the best, but we're also planning for the worst. That's what we need to do. You know, we get little signs of where things are in our community. You know, when I was talking to the leader of a local church who runs a food bank that we're connected with and been serving with, and discover that in July 2019, 100 kilograms of food was given out, but in July 2020, 1,000 kilograms of food was given out to people in the community. That is a mark of where we're at in our community. And we should anticipate that, we should hope it doesn't get any worse, but we should anticipate that maybe it will and be ready to respond to that and help. But I wonder what our focus will be. I've called today a new beginning, and that was in part because we're meeting together like this for the first time in 5 months, nearly 6 months. And it is a new beginning. It feels like a new beginning. It's lovely to see familiar faces. Well, I say see familiar faces. Of course, we're all wearing masks. You're all wearing masks. But I still recognize you. And the trouble is I can't tell if you're smiling. It's interesting we've got fewer numbers here in church because I can see when people are falling asleep. I'm not normally able to do that. But it's exciting to be able to do this. It is a sense of a new beginning. But we can make the focus the wrong focus. You know, we can focus on one another. It's important. One another is important, and it's lovely to see one another. But our focus today is welcoming you, but it is coming before our loving and mighty God and worshiping him and honoring him. And so I was thinking of a passage that we might look at. And so I'm going to take us into the book of Acts. And so if you've got a Bible handy on your phone or whatever, you might want to have it open. The words will come on the screen, both at home and here in church as well. We're in the book of Acts, and Acts chapter 8 is a great... This whole section of Acts about the early church as it's developing is really exciting, because the church is going through dark times, but it's also seeing good things happening. You know, the bad times are stuff like Stephen being executed for his faith. It doesn't get much worse than that, someone being executed because they're a follower of Jesus. And we're told in the book of Acts that the church was being persecuted. One of the leaders of the persecution was a guy called Saul, who Jesus meets on the road, the risen Jesus meets on the road and converts and brings to faith, and he becomes Paul and becomes the great leader of the apostolic mission, taking the gospel, the good news of Jesus, out to a needy world. And so there's bad things happening, but there's also good things happening. And in Acts chapter 8, we get this great story of Philip meeting the Ethiopian eunuch. So let's delve into it for a little bit. I'm going to take us through it and try and draw out some of the things that I think God wants to say to us today through it. So Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Let's just pause there for a moment. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip. Now we need to be slightly careful. I don't know how many angels you've had speaking to you this week. Anybody been experiencing angels either at home or here? Just put it in the comments. You've had an angel speaking to you. It's a rather unusual occurrence. And for us to be guided by what we think is an angel, we need to be slightly careful about that and slightly cautious. But Philip is guided by an angel, and he's guided to do something a little bit extraordinary. Luke, the writer of Acts, focuses in on Philip for a particular reason. He wants to pick up an important aspect of the gospel message. So this angel comes, unusually, to speak to Philip, goes south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, the problem here is Gaza wasn't much of a place. It had been destroyed, I think, 100 years earlier. There wasn't much of anything there. So why on earth would God say, go on this road to Gaza? Out in the desert. Go out into the wilderness and go onto this road. Philip might have been a little bit skeptical about that. It's interesting, isn't it? God says to us sometimes to do things that seem slightly, well, they go against what we would think is the right thing or the best thing or the thing that we want to do. But God says, go and do this. Go into the desert, the wilderness road, and go on that road that's going to nowhere, basically. Wonder what the Lord will call me and will call you to do this week that either we don't want to do or seems slightly odd or weird. So Philip started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake. In other Bible versions it says Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, but the Kandake was the title of the queen of the Ethiopians. So he starts out, and on his way he meets this extraordinary person who was in the service of the queen of the Ethiopians. Now, if you know your geography, you'll know that Jerusalem is something like, let's say, between 2,000 and 2,500 miles from Israel, from Jerusalem. Ethiopia is 2,000 miles from Jerusalem. So this was just a nip down the road on public transport. You know, we love public transport, don't we? You know, it's become a really popular thing to use public transport now. And the Ethiopian eunuch is on this journey. Now, he's been in Jerusalem because obviously he's got some kind of Jewish heritage. You'll know back in, I think it was the 60s or 70s, Israel rescued or brought the almost the entire Jewish community of Ethiopia back to Israel. Did you know that? They kind of airlifted them all and brought them back. And so there's this huge Ethiopian community that lives now in Israel. There's been a long-standing connection between Israel and Ethiopia. And so back then, that was very much the case. This Ethiopian eunuch, who was part of the queen's entourage, who has traveled to Jerusalem to worship. So he's obviously got a Jewish background. The difficult thing for him would have been that though he might have had that Jewish heritage, if he'd gone to the temple to worship, it would have been difficult for him because he was a eunuch. Now, I did think about this. Do I need to explain what a eunuch is? I hope not. Check it out, folks, on Google it, okay? If you need to, we're not going to go into the details of that. But basically, if you look at Old Testament, he would have had a bit of a problem. Deuteronomy 23, no one who has been emasculated by crushing or cutting may enter the assembly of the Lord. So this eunuch would have had to stand outside of the temple. He would not have been allowed to gather with God's people. In other words, he was an outsider. And yet he was seeking God. I wonder if there's anyone watching or anyone here today who feels that they are an outsider. This story, one of the things about it is that it kind of reminds us that God is interested in those of us who feel that they're outsiders, that they're not worthy. In his case, because this had been done to him, he was something of an outsider. And God arranges for a meeting for him with Philip. So Philip follows the instructions and meets this Ethiopian eunuch on the road. And, you know, this is quite important because at the end of the gospel, Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The Odyssey speaks, Homer's Odyssey speaks of the far-off Ethiopians, the furthermost of men. The ends of the earth, Ethiopia. So when Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and go to the ends of the earth, here we see the beginning of that happening, going to the ends of the earth. Luke, the writer of Acts, is showing exactly that what Jesus said is going to come true. The ends of the earth. This outsider from the ends of the earth is about to meet with God. So he represents people from the ends of the earth and all the types of people that the Jewish people couldn't even comprehend. He also represents the type of people who've been ostracized and kept away from God because of their identity. This is a reminder that the gospel is for everyone. In our time of identity politics, the gospel is for everyone. It's not for a select group. And so as we think about a new beginning, it's important that we remember that. It's important that you remember that. That the gospel is for you and it's for me, it's for everyone, regardless of our background, regardless of how we identify or self-identify. It is for everyone. Here we have someone who would have been excluded, but who is about to be welcomed. We know that he's educated. We know that he's someone who knew something, he certainly knew how to read, and he had the wealth of the Queen of Ethiopia behind him. So, he's a wonderful character, but something of a strange character, but it all kind of fits into where this story is going. And Luke sets it up beautifully. He shows us literally the most unlikely of characters to show up on the road at this time, reading from the book of Isaiah. So we read. As we read, let's keep in mind all those things that we've learned about him. Let's go on and read. The man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of the prophet Isaiah. So he's reading, he's able to read, he's sitting in his chariot, and there are other people with him. Obviously, he's got an entourage with him as well. Let's just take the next slide, please. The Spirit told him, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Now again, this is a rather extraordinary thing to do, isn't it? You need to be reasonably fit to keep up with the chariot. And you can imagine Philip running alongside the chariot, having a listen to what is going on. You know, in our culture, we have to listen to all sorts of things when people are traveling in their chariots, don't you? You usually hear it as you walk along the street. You hear boom, 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 boom. you know, we're having to listen to all of it. So this is the equivalent of that, and he's reading, the Ethiopian eunuch is busy reading, but he's reading the Bible out loud. And Philip gets to hear it, and he's having to keep fit. It's great, we're all keeping fit right now. You're all doing your 10,000 steps and getting out and doing the stuff that you need to do. Well, you know, if you follow Jesus, you get to do that as well, because he gives you instructions to do that. Run up to a chariot and begin to chase it. And he hears what is happening. And then he has the kind of strength of thought, strength of mind, to ask a question. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. So he's reading the Bible, but he's not quite sure what it says. He's not quite sure what was going on. And this is the passage that the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. So he's reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53. And the eunuch asks Philip, tell me please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Is the prophet talking about Isaiah himself or someone else? Now, it's great when you're given that question, isn't it? Who's this about? Who's this passage about? Now, we don't live in a time when people ask those sort of questions. They're not really, people aren't generally interested in who Jesus is anymore because we're so wrapped up in ourselves. We've kind of lost that spiritual heritage that Scotland, the land of the book, once had. So the culture then would have been much more open to asking spiritual questions. But we pray that we will see and hear people asking these sort of questions again. Who is this prophet talking about? Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark, keeps asking the question, who is this man? Who is this man? Who's the gospel about? Who is Jesus? It's a great question. And the Ethiopian eunuch asks it. And Philip begins to answer that very question with that very passage of scripture, Isaiah 53, and told them the good news about Jesus. So we have, again, Philip being prodded what to do and where to go. He runs to the chariot. He runs. He hears the eunuch reading. He hears it very clearly what it is that the eunuch is thinking about and asking. N.T. Wright puts it like this. The Ethiopian eunuch was meditating deeply on the fate of Israel in exile and on the promises and purposes of God, which remained constant despite Israel's failure to be the light of the nations or even to walk in the light herself. Gradually, a picture took shape in his praying, meditating mind, the figure of a servant, one who would complete Israel's task, one who would come to where Israel was to do for Israel and the whole world what neither could do for themselves, to bear in his own body the shame and reproach for the nations and of God's people, and to die under the weight of the world's wickedness. Only so, he perceived, could the promises be fulfilled. Isaiah was writing a kind of job description. This is what we want, a servant who will accomplish God's will and rescue Israel and the world. And the eunuch is asking that question, who is this? And Philip says, it's Jesus. It's Jesus that you need to know. The story goes on. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. It's an interesting moment in the story. Remember that as a eunuch, the ritual to become part of the Jewish faith was impossible for him. The ritual cleansing, he wouldn't be allowed to do that. There were all sorts of things that would come in the way of him becoming part of the family of God. But not so when one meets with Jesus and knows who he is. Not so, here's a pool, there's water, let's get baptized. He jumps at the opportunity. What could possibly stop him from doing that? See, everyone is welcome. Accept Jesus, follow Jesus, be baptized, serve him. No wonder he's so excited. You can imagine the picture. He's just so excited about the possibility of meeting and knowing this person that Isaiah the prophet was pointing to and who Philip explained about. So it's a short story. It's an amazing story of a new beginning. And you'll know, if you know anything about Ethiopia, you'll know that the church in Ethiopia has existed, the Coptic Ethiopian church has existed in Ethiopia longer than the church has existed in Scotland or the United Kingdom. And there's a long tradition that all started with the Ethiopian eunuch. It's an amazing story. And lots of people use this story to say this is an example of evangelism, how we should get alongside people and hear what it is that they're saying. And all of that is true. We could focus in on that and think that it is primarily about evangelism and being prodded to go to people of peace and spend time with them. But I think there's something else going on here that is more important than that even. It's not just simply about telling people about Jesus. You see, evangelism starts to look, sharing Jesus starts to look a little bit different to us from the time it was 2,000 years ago. It begins to appear to be a little bit different from the culture of 2,000 years ago. And we ought to be careful to appreciate that and not assume that we need to behave exactly like Philip. And not to sort of make it a program. This is about an encounter with the living Lord Jesus. There's a parable in Mark that says this. Jesus said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle into it because the harvest has come." See, this is how the message of Jesus goes out. That's why this new time is really important. You know, it's very easy for us to stay in our building and to think, you know, this is church. And we want people to come to us. The reality is probably this. People are not likely to come across the doors of the church, even now. It's very unlikely that that will happen. People won't necessarily come into your church building, but people might take a little nibble at stuff that we're doing online. But more importantly than this is the contact that you have with your family and friends, the people that you talk to now, the people that you Zoom with. What we need is to have, more than anything, the kind of confidence that Philip had, to be guided by the Spirit of God, and just to be confident in the gospel message, that God loves the world so much that he sent his son Jesus to die for everyone in it, and to be confident in that message and to make him known. Particularly in a time of darkness and trouble in people's lives, we have a great opportunity to talk about Jesus and to point to him. But what we need is not to privatize our faith, but to take it out and to be confident about it and to say, you know, I'm a person of faith. I trust in Jesus. And he's the most important thing in the world. Not just to me, but for the world. So don't take a program from the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. Be excited about it. It's a wonderful example of God's grace and power and mercy and his working in history. It's a wonderful example of all of that. But actually, it's about God wanting to meet with people. And who does he use? He uses Philip, he uses me, and he uses you in your workplace, in your home, in your meetings online, in your personal meetings. He will use you if you are but confident in his love and his power and the message of Jesus. So today, will you be confident? And then maybe someone is watching here or at home and you're thinking, this is amazing. The Ethiopian eunuch met with Jesus and got baptized. Maybe I ought to do that. Maybe I need to respond to the gospel message. So if that's something that you need to do, if the Holy Spirit has been at work in you, then we're going to pray for you now and pray that the Lord will meet with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this amazing story, the history of this new beginning for the Ethiopian, but also for his nation as well. We thank you that you love nations, you want to take the gospel message to the ends of the earth. People have done that down through the years, gone to the ends of the earth to make Jesus known. We pray that we would be people mindful of that. We'd be mindful that you love the outsider. You want them brought into your family. And I pray now for anybody who's watching this, anyone who's listening today, that you would speak to their hearts and minds, that you would confirm your love for them in their spirit, that they would turn to Jesus, that they might follow him, give their hearts to him. And if they need to get baptized, then we pray that they would respond like that and that we would respond too if we can help people do that. And Lord, we pray for all of us now. We pray for all of us. Would you help us to be confident in Jesus? Maybe be people who are inviting Jesus to be part of our family and our friends' lives. Maybe be confident in the wonderful gospel message and make him known. Particularly in these dark days, we sense that you are at work. Your Holy Spirit is at work in us. And we pray that you would be at work through us too. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.